Good evening. My name's Scott. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from pornography, laziness, and choosing comfort over godliness. Hey guys, please pray with me. Dear Lord, thank you for being a good and loving Father that gives new life. Thank you for speaking truth into my life and showing me that there is a better way to live. Please calm my nerves and receive all the glory for your work in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Despite my ability to white-knuckle it for a period of time, I never had lasting victory over my struggle with lust and pornography. I convinced myself that it was a small sin that I could control. In reality, I compartmentalized it into an isolated corner of my life. Like an infected abscess, I allowed it to fester just beneath the surface. For over 10 years, I continued to dabble in pornography, convinced that as long as no one knew about it, no one would be hurt, and I would not face any consequences. Growing up, I had a loving family and spent much of my time at the church. When I was 7, I understood that my parents had a relationship with Jesus Christ, and I wanted this relationship as well. Honestly, I do not remember much of the conversation my mom had with me, but I do know that I asked Jesus to forgive my sins and to be Lord of my life. With the faith of a child, I accepted his free gift of grace. Nothing drastically changed in my life that day. And yet, because of that decision to serve the Lord and not myself, everything changed. My faith in Jesus Christ continued to grow deeper, and I knew the Holy Spirit was working in and through me. Although there were certainly times I questioned things about my faith and the church, God remained faithful and present in my life from childhood into adulthood. It was only a few years after coming to Christ that I discovered pornography. Like so many, it began with a harmless second look. The second look then turned into a third and fourth look until a secret habit was born. No one could know because no one knew. And because of that, it just grew, and it grew. There were days that I doubted my salvation, because after I repented of the sin, I believed that I should hate it after that point, but I didn't. During these years, I also remember being very self-conscious and frequently wondered what people thought about me. I desired others to think highly of me and build me up. Because I feared how others viewed me, I began to fear conflict. This remained a fear into adulthood and has in many ways shaped me. I would often avoid conversations if I perceived that they would lead to conflict. I failed to stand up and speak for something I believed in order to keep the peace. I missed many opportunities to share the gospel because it would make me uncomfortable. Numerous times I would actually change the conversation from one about faith because I did not want people to know what I believed. I loved the Lord, but in many ways I had settled for lukewarm Christianity. I wanted Jesus to be Lord over my life as long as I did not have to be too uncomfortable and could still occasionally do what I wanted to do. I responded to life like God described the church in Laodicea, written about in the book of Revelation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other, so because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. I met Julie during my first week in college. I was quickly infatuated and found her feelings to be mutual. As a young man dating for the first time, I sadly learned many things the hard way. My choices during that time brought me great shame. Apart from the reconciling power of a loving father, I would have destroyed this relationship long ago. But God chose to extend grace. Our relationship did not become perfect overnight, nor is it now. But God began to reconcile us to each other and to him. We have now been married for over 8 years, and I've been blessed with 2 kids. Going through regeneration was a major part of this reconciliation process. Julie was going through regeneration, and although she knew I struggled with pornography, she never forced me to go. She simply told me what the Lord was doing in her life and how regen would help me. My sin of pornography, masturbation, and idolizing women had not drastically worsened, but it remained a hidden, chronic sin. Additionally, petty arguments with Julie had increased, and I had become verbally angry and unloving. Julie was now pregnant with our first child, and it became apparent that I could not continue following Christ when it was convenient, while controlling other areas of my life that I did not want to release. I could confidently state that I had accepted Jesus Christ's saving grace and believed that he was Lord. I fully trusted Jesus for the forgiveness of my sins. But I would soon learn that I did not trust him for the freedom from my sins. My first night at Regen, I thought my sin problem was relatively small compared to others. Although I doubted my struggle with pornography would ever go away, it seemed manageable. In step one, God showed me that I had been attempting to manage a sin in my own power. Despite having periods of sobriety, I was not free. In step two, God showed me that I was attempting to do what Paul pointed out to the church in Galatia. I accepted Jesus' salvation and received the Spirit into my life, but then tried to attain the goal of walking faithfully by my own effort. In step three, God showed me that trust does not require that I always feel like trusting. It is a decision to trust God with my life and will by accepting his grace. In step four, God showed me how I care way too much about what others thought of me. I learned that I am a coward. It became such an idol that under conviction from the Holy Spirit, I would still stay silent or even change the conversation when given the opportunity to share the gospel. I feared and avoided conflict to the detriment of deep, healthy relationships. Additionally, I knew that pornography and masturbation were struggles in times of stress, but I also struggled when I was bored. It occurred to me that even though laziness was the outlet that led to sin, avoiding anything uncomfortable like seeking godliness was the root cause. I was scared to think about all of the things I should be about as a follower of Christ, a husband, a father, a neighbor, a community group member, a mentor, a nurse, and the list goes on. Instead, I avoided these things and emptied my mind through laziness and pornography. I had a good friend point out that you either trust that your sins are already dead in Christ and you have victory, or you do not trust God. As I began focusing on my repentance plan, God began to show me that there is not only forgiveness in Christ, but there is freedom in Christ. Step five was a turning point in my recovery. One of my life verses has become James 5:16. It says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you would be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." The Lord taught me the healing that comes from honest, authentic confession. During this time, I shared my inventory with my mentor, the guys in my community, and Julie. I felt so much healing, just drawing my sin to the light. Although Julie knew much of my struggle, I had never shared any details. Trust was broken even further. Despite feeling so much healing, sin always, always has consequences sooner or later. In step six, God encouraged me to not just confess my sins after they occurred, but to flee when temptation arose. Putting my repentance plans into action allowed me to begin seeing the who, what, when, where, why, and how of my temptation and flee. Step 7 through 12, God continued to pull me closer to himself and send me out to share his goodness. I learned the clear difference between forgiveness, amends, and reconciliation. I learned the importance of forgiving others quickly in order to be able to love them like Jesus. I learned that I did not need to trust the person or even be reconciled to the person to forgive them. I simply transferred the need for justice to God. And step 9, amends. I learned how to own 100% of my offense and ask for forgiveness. This was not so they would apologize to me, but in order that I may live peaceably with all. My walk with God has become a consistent, abiding relationship. Before recovery in Christ, I experienced many more dry seasons where I did not feel the presence of the Lord. In these days, my time spent in scripture and prayer occurred when I had the time. Now, whenever I feel the presence, whether I feel the presence of the Lord or not, I know he is with me. I prioritize spending time in scripture and prayer not because I need to check it off my to-do list, but because I desire a deeper relationship. Before recovery, I avoided sharing the gospel or talking about my faith with people that I did not know very well, although I still get butterflies in my stomach every time I share the faith. The Lord gives me the courage and the words to speak. I now pray for opportunities to share the gospel and my faith. Before recovery in Christ, I argued with Julie, having the intent to win the argument. I became defensive easily and did not see my fault in the situation. As I have heard growing up, and many of you might not know this expression, I could argue with a Bodark fence post. It's a really hard wood. Additionally, when I apologized before recovery, I often still sought an apology in return from Julie. I certainly am not perfect in my marriage and still become defensive. But the Lord reminds me that Julie and I are on the same team. Reconciliation in Christ is the goal, not winning an argument. I now confess quickly when I wrong my wife, and I make amends. I draw the circle around myself and own all of my part of the problem. My continual goal is to take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I spent years filling my mind with images of women, whether online or in the real world. When I started Regen, I trusted the Lord for the forgiveness of my sins, but I did not yet trust him for the freedom from my sins. I thought that pornography would always be an isolated corner in my life where I escaped. I escaped here when I was stressed, anxious, tired, bored, discontent, and afraid. Objectifying women with my eyes had become second nature. It was as simple as breathing. I knew that I could not get rid of what was in my mind. But Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." My thoughts have not been erased. I am still daily tempted to objectify women and entertain impure thoughts. However, by actively fighting these thoughts and replacing them with truth, my mind is being renewed. As I embrace the transforming power of Christ, these thoughts and actions atrophy. Because of God's work, I am now brutally honest and open with my wife and community group about my struggles. I strive to always confess quickly. This leads to repentance, which is actively fleeing impure thoughts, anger, and fear. It produces righteousness, peace, and humility. Where I once was consumed with what others thought of me, I am now a servant of Christ who depends on his power to do his will. I now view my relationship with God and hiding his word in my heart with a sense of desperation. When I started Regen, I felt no sense of desperation to be free from pornography, anger, or my fear of man. My perspective changed when I understood that I am not only forgiven from sin, but I am free from sin. I am no longer a slave to sin, but to righteousness. I avoid pornography not just because I do not want to confess sin, but because I know that it leads to death. I used to hide, defend, or justify my sin. When I confessed, it was still frequently laced with half-truths and half-confessions. When I am not daily seeking the Lord, I still fall into patterns of defensiveness and the desire to justify my actions. But because of Christ and his direction, I am now brutally honest when I confess, humbling myself in the knowledge that confession and prayer lead to healing. This journey has first and foremost increased my love of Jesus Christ. I have a front row seat to my sinful nature in need of a Savior. He died for my sin and gave me a new life. I get to be a child of God. Not only forgiven from sin, but free from the bondage of sin. I serve as his messenger of reconciliation. Over the last 9 months, I have had the joy and privilege of leading a group of men through these 12 steps. It has been such a blessing to see God at work in their lives. If I could say just one thing to you tonight, it would be that God can change your life. In fact, if you ask, he will give you a new life. Whether you are a lukewarm, complacent coward that idolizes comfort, or wandering further from God than you thought possible, he is a good and gracious Father that loves you. Thanks for letting me share.